Chapter 43. Remembering my friend's admonitions to stay safe, I meandered downtown. What safer place to be than the city library? Libraries are wonderful sanctuaries anytime, as well as being storehouses of information. Added to those charms was the fact that the librarian, Greta, was a good friend of mine. The library, as Grandy's, was a refuge from wild, windy weather, such as we were experiencing today. I loved the smell that always greeted me when I opened the library's door. The elusive scent of books, papers, floor wax, and an indefinable something born of years. Could knowledge have its own aroma? An essence of library? "Greta," I said, leaning across her desk, "I'm curious about the Carver family. All I know is hearsay and my short acquaintance with Miss Evangeline. Where could I look to find out more actual facts?" Greta smiled. "They are an intriguing family, aren't they? Even though, from what I hear, Judson was as mean as the dickens. Still, he's rather shadowy. But it's my job to dispel those shadows. You'll be pleased to know that our reference department is blessed with ScanPro. We have all the old newspaper stories from Edna Lee on microfilm. My advice would be to start there." I felt like a prospector, excited about the possibility of discovering gold. "Oh, great," I said, rubbing my hands together. "Show me the way." Pulling up the Edna Lee newspaper, I scrolled through back issues, further and further back, years running past the computer screen like water in a river. The search bar was a handy feature, and when I typed in Carver, several entries popped up. Evidently, Judson had been involved in many litigations. As I read one account of a foreclosure, another Carver's name appeared. Charles Carver. Absorbed in what I was reading, I felt as if I had been transported backward in time as I read about the tragedy of Charles Carver. Scanning further, I found Charles's name in several items. Evidently, Charles had an affliction. He was a gambling addict. Then a bold-type headline caught my eye. "Heir to Carver Fortune Disappears." I lost track of time as I read what had been big news a number of years ago. Charles had run up debts. His debtors were after him, and, if brought to trial, he faced a stiff penalty and jail time. Then, one day, he simply disappeared. Charles, it seemed, had mortgaged the Carver farm, and unable to repay it, he left town, leaving his brother Judson holding the bag. The front page story ended. Hurriedly, I scanned the paper, finding another story I had overlooked. Several days after the disappearance made the news, Judson had stepped forward and covered his brother's debts. The Carver estate was saved. No one had been able to locate Charles, and rumors were he might have traveled to South America. His wife declared her innocence, and, unable to bear the shame, she and her young daughter moved. Nobody knew where. So, at last, here was a story of a benevolent side of Judson. He had paid off his brother's debts, leaving his sister-in-law free of that encumbrance. Evidently, the two brothers had nothing in common when it came to finances. Everything Judson touched seemed to have prospered, and nothing was said about further liens against the Carver estate. I wished I could ask Miss Evangeline what she knew about this, but since that was impossible, I thought about Miss Anne. Would she remember that tragic episode in the life of the Carvers? Why hadn't she mentioned it to me when I talked to her earlier about Judson? I left the library feeling far less elated than I had felt when I began my search. I had craved information, and I found it. But even though Charles's disappearance was long ago news, I felt troubled about the heart-wrenching pain suffered by his family. It seemed a curse was hanging over the Carver estate.